Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good evening, everyone out there in podcast land, and welcome to another exciting episode of Earthly Treasures, an actual play podcast of the role-playing game Relics, A Game of Angels. Once again, I'll be your host and master of the rules and settings, Steve D, the writer and designer of Relics. Excited to present it here for you. And with us, as always, are our indomitable players. We have Jess.
Dobry vecher, yeah, Jess.
Fantastic. Andrew Chergwin.
Hi there, that's me. I can't speak Russian.
Cody Smith.
It's-a me,
Harahel. And Jake Nelson.
Just as the prophecy foretold.
We are no longer joined by Ethan Cox, our erstwhile GM, who has had to leave. We will in the future hopefully be being GM'd by Lois Spangler, who unfortunately also cannot join us this evening. So I'll be sitting in as GM this episode, or dealer, as they are called in the Relics rulebook, dealing all the cards and determining the fates. Why don't you guys, though, remind us where we left off? I believe you were in a temple in South America.
Some pyramid thing in the jungles of Peru.
That's right.
That's the one. There was a temple that required three keys to enter. You needed all three to get through the last door, and we just got into the second chamber to find, a thing that I don't remember what it was. Did we find out? Does anyone remember what the thing was that we found in there?
I'm fairly sure we cut to black.
Yeah, I think we just. So I'm actually gonna rewind it a little bit.
I don't remember what it was.
Because, just before you're in that position, you're in the first key room where, it was someone needed to hold the door open, unless of course they could teleport. Veronica is going to pause and not go with you into the second chamber. She's thinking to herself that this feels like it's all a bit too easy, maybe, or a bit manufactured. She's something on the back of her neck is just sort of setting off her thoughts and making her having developed her own sort of guerrilla warfare and traps in the past. She's feeling like that she should go and watch your back outside. So she waves goodbye and heads back down the tunnels to find out what's going on outside the temple.
She needs to hold the door! Hold the door!
Mmm, delightful.
Oh, that was a reference to that timely pop cultural thing.
Yes. That was
well done, you.
Let's all spoil it now. It's like,
the Night King was dead the whole time. Cersei sees dead people.
The Iron Throne was the friends they made on the way.
Yep.
Comfy.
Yeah. Right. So, we find ourselves in the second chamber, which is a large room that has been decorated with a fresco, some sort of painting on moist plaster. There's a big scenes on these walls. This room is at least 12 foot high to the ceiling, and there's these big sweeping scenes, symbology and depicting some sort of story, which you might have time to decipher. Unfortunately, you notice that the room is starting to fill with water as soon as the other door shut.
How are angels about the whole breathing thing?
Angels don't.
I think we're good.
Yeah, angels don't need to breathe, so this trap will presumably not harm you at all, but as you see the waters rising, it will erase fairly quickly the symbology on the wall. So the question is whether you want to try to read it or do you want to just sort of look at the pretty pictures. It's
also like the other guys. Yeah, didn't we have those guys?
I think you left them behind, but I wasn't sure. There were some other people.
Okay. I thought we brought them with us.
Well, in that case, they're in a lot of trouble.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because they...
How long can you guys hold your breath?
300 years.
No, these are humans.
Fortunately, they're all descended from Guybrush Threepwood and can thus hold their breath for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It was just some time.
Let's say, so was there, what, three? I think there were three explorers that you were with, was it, or two?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was three.
Three, yeah.
Yeah, so they're beginning to panic because the water's up to your ankles now, and it's obviously some sort of death trap. It will take a while to fill this room because, as I say, it is quite large, but it's pouring in from quite a lot of sources.
I would like to use my miracle, the joy of reading. I would like to touch the fresco and see what knowledge I can glean from it.
Fantastic. It's written in symbology, but so the memory, you can touch it and read anything. That's right, isn't it? Give me a test, though, just to see how much meaning you can get from it, or whether it's too symbolic for you. You can have a blessing, though, so draw twice, take the best.
I got the Hierophant, yeah!
Is that your signifier?
That's my signifier.
Oh, wow. Well, in that case, you're going to get
the
a new miracle.
Is especially joyful.
let me think about a new miracle. Your, what are your dominions? Let's think about your dominions for a second. One of them is communion? No. One is witness. What are Harahel's dominions?
Shaping and witness.
Shaping and witness. Let me
find. Yeah, because the shaping turned up in the weird book squid ink thing.
Book squid ink thing? Yeah, I'm just looking up.
Yep. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Weird book squid thing.
Yep.
Can I give our companion skills just with a touch?
Well, that would be a kind of shaping, yeah. Let me see.
Or is that getting a little too Lovecraftian with the tentacles and the gills and the ear dug and...
Well, Lovecraft had to get his ideas from somewhere. I mean, maybe he knew an angel or was an angel. You never know.
I was the shadow of an angel.
Yeah, he was the angel who invented thinly veiled racism.
Not that thinly, yeah. Alternatively, you could make something that is brick as soft as plaster or something, which would be able to punch a hole through these walls or something like that.
You could freeze all the water.
Yeah, turning...
Well, that'd be
Yeah, you could
I
certainly...
I
kind
of love
could...
the idea of being here for the next, 6 months while the room thaws.
Yeah. But moisture
hey,
is
you guys will
the...
be here for the next 6 months. I can walk through the wall.
Moisture is one of the three greatest enemies of the librarian, so it should be something. Maybe I can just soak water up like a silica sponge.
That's really interesting.
I'm getting the image of Harahel turning into like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah.
Like Ghostbusters. Just kind of.
God, this is SpongeBob SquarePants now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Suddenly 37...
It does seem like some really weird sort of shaking stuff, so...
Yeah.
Suddenly 37 stories tall and bloated.
You won't be able to do the whole room, but yeah, I'll say you can absorb water into your body as if it was air.
All right then, she's water absorbent! She's a super absorbent angel!
That's right. It won't be enough to hold it to suck
come in 2-inch lengths.
Yes. And it's the Python moment.
Yep,
coin in the cup.
Shut up. Sex. We've got to get sex into it somehow.
That's one of my favorite sketches.
I used to be able to recite that. I don't know if I still can or should.
No, not should. We could do that off later.
And that's when we got sued.
So,
yep.
I got some knowledge from the walls, and I'm now drinking up water.
Yep. It will give
I
you
the idea that I'm popping out like have you guys ever soaked the Sultana?
No.
Okay. I like the idea that I'm popping out like a grape.
I don't know what you do with your Sultanas.
Hey baby, you wanna come back to my place and soak
some
Sultanas?
No. That's what all the young people are doing these days.
Now we need Terry Jones playing an organ.
Coming up next on A Current Affair, the sex craze that's endangering your teenagers. Soaking the Sultana, they call it. Find out what it is.
Oh, no.
I'm typing the information into your text chat, Cody, so that you can relay it to others. Cool. So it doesn't feel as artificial as just coming out of my my mouth.
I see. Two strangers came from across the sea. Powerful flying gods. One had a device like a plow. And one had a device like a mattock. I think we're going to dig our way out of here. Maybe it's a magic plow. I don't know.
Are we calling Mr. Plow?
Mr. Plow, that's his name. That's 90s reference.
Welcome to Earthly Treasures, here. Folks. It's an hour of this.
These symbols over here, these delicious, delicious symbols. Harold takes a moment to lick the wall. Harvest.
She's got to lick the marble. She's got to take
bad
the marble.
Harvest.
Yeah, that now.
Good harvest from the golden being with the plow. Bad harvest death from the dark being with the mattock. Don't mess with the mattock. And then over here, the good being goes to the plow, and the bad being into the mattock. I think these might be relics. Just a hunch. Oh yeah, and then over here, okay, I got it. Guys, over here. Have a look over here. See this? The guy that turned into the mattock? Yeah, he's near the temple. So, we're looking for a mattock. Presumably possessed by an evil spirit. I think that's how this goes.
So there's an evil demon mattock, is it?
Yes.
Or just an angel mattock? If this turns into mattock, there's problems.
We should probably go introduce ourselves.
It's probably inhabited by an angel called Otto. The Otto-matic.
the actual words are the Incas had a plow-like device which was called a chakitakla, which was sort of a manual plow you could work with your foot to make fat furrows, and then they would dig up things with a rokana, which is like a sort of primitive kind of scythe / mattock that they would dig up root vegetables with.
I knew that. That's what I said.
If you want to Google those at home, they're quite impressive things. Yes, so...
And that's what this wall tastes like.
That is what the information on the wall says.
Funnily enough, the wall also tastes like hallucinogenic fungus.
Hmm. Oh, fungus? I was hoping it was frogs.
It's a little bit inky. Nice.
Hallucinogenic squid.
The water is, washing most of the detail off. And you're just absorbent enough to sort of give you about 5 inches or so from the top, allowing your three new friends to breathe.
At her age, she just retains water like crazy.
Yeah. Mm. And then... obviously hit some sort of enough amount of water has flown in, and then you hear sort of some grinding of stone, and the centerpiece of seems to sort of drop a few feet of the floor below, and then the water starts to drain out again.
Oh, I know what my water absorbing ability is. It's climate control, because I need to protect books.
Oh, of course, yeah. You don't normally absorb that much, but yeah, you're just constantly keeping the atmosphere dry.
A walking desiccant packet like you find in the tablet jar.
except now you really need an ancient Incan toilet.
This would have been a lot more pleasant if it was ink.
I'm imagining like Parahel going, okay, let's go, and just, walking and like sloshing slightly as she walks.
Yep.
you're getting that, and I'm also getting the image of, like, closing Harahel's fingers in, like, the top of the car windshield so that while we drive along, she can just dry out.
Welcome to Earthly Treasures, folks. You got to hear that sound directly into your ears.
Jess, would you like to lead the way to the next room? Sorry, Dima.
Dima.
Is Dima even here?
Am I here?
I'm not sure.
Oh, Dima's right.
Just yet. We might find Dima later.
Yep.
Sorry.
I think Rose is just like, well, that was disturbing. Let's go.
Sorry about your fall, Steve.
That's all right.
I'll put it back.
It was the fourth wall was the one that had all the carvings on it, so like that just got ruined.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dima, why don't you give us a book? I believe that you have some sort of connections with international espionage of some sort, Dima.
Yes, I do.
Fantastic. You might even have some sort of contact in that area.
I've got many contacts. I know lots of people.
Right. Well, you kind of keep tabs on that sort of thing. Apparently there's a little bit of scuttlebutt. This is a little bit in the past, that the Peruvian government is selling one of their prized artifacts to a private collector. Now, that is something that gets flagged because it's international trade of rare antiquities is something that's actually really studied by various international bodies these days because there's a huge black market in it and it's participated in by international criminals and cartels. That's why, for example, something like 50% of all the art treasures that were stolen during the Baghdad occupation by the US armies ended up in the hands of billionaires like the Walmart family. So you get a flag on your intelligence watches of something happening in Peru. What would your response be?
I guess I would think to myself, well, this might be something I need to check out myself. And it's been a while since I've been down to South America. We've got some interesting alcohol there. I might go check it out myself.
Fantastic. So the item in question is normally stored in the Lima National Museum. The Peruvian National Museum inside Lima. Apparently has recently... A collector's basically just made a deal with the Peruvian government for a large amount of money to personally collect some items. Let's say you fly down. What would you be your first move in coming into the big city?
I would go and meet with my relevant contact just to make sure my information is up to date.
Fantastic. Why don't we have a memory to tell us about this contact? Now, so basically the skill will be, intelligence about Peruvian governments and things like that. Local knowledge, Peru, perhaps. Intelligence knowledge of Peru. But as with always, someone else will be providing the memory. So we'll find out a little bit more about Dima's past. So, does somebody want to tell us about a moment in South America that they shared with Dima in the past? Perhaps fairly recently?
See, Veronica would have been perfect for this.
Yes. Yeah. Let's have a look at what else. Remind us of your other memories, Dima, with the other crew.
So, I've got the memory with Harahel on the streets of Moscow as a pile of rags who stole and drank my fountain pen.
Yep.
There's the memory of Rose during the Russian Revolution where I created an explosion to distract the Bolsheviks so Rose could get Princess Anastasia out of Russia. And then our memory with Charles in the lead up to the 1812 battle in Russia with Napoleon, and we did a bit of state secret selling, if you will.
Yeah, I was sabotaging Napoleon.
Well, actually, well, maybe I can add one from Veronica then, since there would should be one at some point. So we know that... let me look at Veronica's character sheet. And
another memory of a suplex.
Fantastic.
Memory of a suplex too. Suplexing.
Well, presumably, being a fairly famous Mexican wrestler causes you to, in South America, a fairly famous, oh God, I've forgotten the word, luchador. Yeah, I almost said chupacabra.
She could have been a famous chupacabra at some point. Angels get around.
That's right. Put that goat down.
No, that's Harahel. Oh, no. Harahel did suck a goat. Harahel is the chupacabra.
Wow.
It's true.
I tentacled a goat.
I don't know if that's better. I don't know if that's better, really.
The true, the origin of the chupacabra discovered.
I sucked out the goat's memories with my tentacles. It was an accident. Sorry, Dimitri.
And thereafter, the legend was born.
Which is a pretty good legend considering it happened like 3 hours ago.
Yeah. Legends can travel backwards in time. Being a fairly famous luchador and moving around and perhaps touring the world makes you actually perfect for mixing with espionage circles and stuff like that. Celebrities are a really great way for espionage elements to move around internationally and avoid detection. So it was during...
I was just going to suggest that also it's not at all uncommon for a wrestler to have a manager character who is sort of ringside, helps out and sets up matches and advocates on their behalf.
Fantastic. All right. Let's say then...
Not going to lie, I really want a separate podcast about the adventures of Veronica Angel de la Muerte, the Mexican wrestler angel.
Yep.
We can get a spin-off of that. We should talk to...
Well, one of the great things about Relics is you can do a little bit of parallel storytelling, because every time we add a memory, we can find out more. At some point, she was sort of touring, all through South America, Mexico, up into the States, and, her manager was, let me think, what's a appropriate female South American Peruvian name? I'm going to type in Peruvian names into the great god of Google.
Oh, Google, we beseech thee for a name.
Alessandra. There we go. In the A's. All right. Alessandra something.
Heyman. That's a wrestling joke. Any wrestling fans in the audience will appreciate that.
Fantastic.
Which is why it completely went past me.
Alessandra Echua is a wrestling manager and... fixer, local knowledge person, what's the word they use? Resource. No, that's not the word.
Asset,
yes. Asset to various international espionage agents. And she's happy to meet an old friend because years ago, during the Cold War, what side won the Cold War were you on, Dima? Or both?
Russian side.
Yes. Just checking. Side. Yeah. She was happy to slip you information that, help.
Are you sure? 'Cause they did kill the Tsars, and you kind of like those guys.
Yeah, but my love for Russia runs deep, and I kind of got over that whole thing. Yeah, it was just very history. They come...
Better than working for the Americans.
Are you still a communist?
Eh.
Me. Me.
Let's say that you were certainly a communist then, and you were happy to help prop up a few South American communist regimes and to annoy the Americans. So, you meet Alessandra in a cafe in the streets of Peru. And yes, she thinks of you favorably because you were happy to help connect her with the Russians. So, she shakes your hand warmly, orders you a nice strong alcoholic drink, remembering that you like vodka. And says, well, yes, what brings you to Peru?
I've heard that some objects are leaving the museum in Lima for potentially less desirable hands, and I'm just making sure they're not the kind of objects I need to be interested in.
Yes, I heard something about this. The new Presidente is very, he has very expensive tastes in houses and cars and women and drugs. So I imagine that someone has made him a very nice offer of something. But I do not know anything about the actual history of the objects themselves. It is very easy for collectors these days to just tell museums that they will look after things a lot better, and then things disappear. Can everyone hear that noise? That's the pipes in my building. I can make some calls to the museum, see what's going on, see what's being moved. We do have... There was a figure that is known as a surreptitious, a figure of interest, who flew in a few days ago to Lima, is headed into the jungle to look for something, I believe. She's a famous art collector. Sorry, what was that?
The kind of person I should maybe be looking into as well?
Yes. He is a hunter of antiquities. Oh, I forgot. Yes, sorry. I forgot Dima was male again. Sorry.
It's not entirely clear.
Yeah.
Male is the obvious answer for most people.
It's ambiguous.
Yes. I mean, I can always make a trip into the jungle if that's a thing I need to do, but until I'm sure that I need to go traveling, I'd like to just stay here and just dig up a few more details just before I head out anyway.
All right. Well, I know that this person has met with various museum officials and government officials, so I could set up a meeting with either one of those, if you could ask some questions to them.
I would like to do that. I think maybe start with the museum, see what they know, see what they're holding on to. Fantastic. I don't want to alert the government up yet.
Awesome. All right, we will come back then to find out your interview at the Peruvian National Museum. Meanwhile, the water has drained away in the pyramid, and you have entered the third chamber, a small, it's a key, but it's obviously, it's carved from stone. So it's not like a brass or metal key. But it has rolled out of the sunken stone that descended into the floor. Giving you the second part of the key. This third room, of course, is perhaps the most dangerous of them all. Here is where the Indiana Jones tomb raiding really kicks in, as we see a long, thin corridor with a thin, snaking pathway down the middle. The pathway is set on pillars, each one of which is about 12, 15 feet high, and below on either side is a pit full of spikes.
Huh.
And there seems to be some sort of water wheel device. Again, you can hear the turning of stone and the passage of water, which is causing a sort of rhythmic pattern. So every now and then some of the pillars drop down a foot and then slowly rise back up. And there are swinging blades swishing through the air about 10 feet and 20 feet down the pathway.
Oh boy, my water weight's not feeling good about this.
Come on, you guys. I guess you're two to three mortals who have been following us, and I'm just like, let's step back and let the youngins take this.
Sit alone, a corridor positively bristling with traps. Whatever shall I... And then I'm at the other end of the corridor.
Yes. You can indeed teleport to the other end, because you can see it. But the question is, do you wait for the others, or do you go on alone?
I'm just going to,
like lean against the wall and like start filing my nails.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, I'm gonna stand back here just like Hara hell no.
Put in the hell no in Hara hell. Right. Charles.
Charles can kind of shrug off a few, you know, minor cuts and bruises and things, so he'll just kind of walk on in, take a step roughly through the middle and kind of see what the heck comes his way.
All right. Do you have any particularly relevant skills?
Just the ability to reduce damage to myself and some break and enter skills from my interesting dealings with the
Parahel. I'm not feeling with it's breaking and entering, really.
Not really, no.
So you're just going to give me a regular old test. Draw a card. Let's find out. If you get badly, though, you may fall into a pit. So let's find out. Draw a tarot card.
Ace of Wands.
Right. The ace is the lowest possible result you can get.
Yes.
And that's I don't think this is enduring in any... Oh, you're not a Bahama. Are you a...
No, I'm in Asia.
Yes. All right. You are doing well for the first bit, watching the timing, getting it right, and then you get that little bit cocky, and then you realize you're teetering a little bit, so you take that moment to sort of overcorrect, and then get slammed by a swinging pendulum that just knocks the guts out of you, and you fall over the edge, straight down, and get a nasty spike through your legs and abdomen. It's not going to kill you, but it's going to slow you the hell down, and it hurts like hell. And it's going to be difficult for you to climb out now. You may even have difficulty getting yourself off the spikes, given that you're sort of wedged on them now. Okay. The humans are screaming, of course, going, you know, oh God! Yeah. And they're running back. They're running away. They're going back into the water room and trying to get the hell out of here. Sure. So, spikes.
Spikes, yeah. Well, I can deal with the damage, because that's one of the things that I can do. So I'm just going to basically just kind of force myself back up the spikes, just slowly, just literally kind of, you know, like hand over hand, push myself up.
It's one of those sort of...
Take it off.
It's those scenes from, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s horror where the thing's like, yes, I've got a spike through me, but I'm going to slowly, we're going to watch every inch of you sort of hand over hand pulling yourself up off the spike through your abdomen.
Yeah, that's
would you look at that?
Bad action movie style, right? You know, this is I'm supposed to, like, break a bullet or something, yeah. At the point, actually get off it, since I assume that I may not have to draw a card to get myself back off the spike.
You're off the spike, but you're still at the bottom of the pit.
Can I throw my tentacle?
I don't know if your tentacles are strong enough to carry someone. They're sort of book reading. Sorry?
Good point.
Kind of what I have wings for?
Yes, you can fly.
So, well, I just spend a little while, and by the time I get back, I'm going to have a bit of an injury point, but bleeding eyes.
Nice.
The damage, and then I'll just kind of land somewhere safe-ish.
Right.
I keep forgetting how angels work, but I also figure that's exactly how Tarahel operates.
People do forget about the wings. It's very easy to do so.
Rose is just like,
you know, you can probably fly under the blades, no?
You can, with a little bit of practice, go under the blades. But yes, you still would have been knocked off by that terrible, terrible card that you pulled. So the two of you have made it to the other side. Are you leaving Harahel behind and going into the last chamber?
Oh, there's a last chamber.
Yeah.
There's one more beyond.
No, this is kind of it. This is where it looks... They were hiding this blade room. Like, they wanted, you know... They built this really sick blade room, and they didn't want anyone else to come in here. And so that's what all the waters and stuff was about.
There's 200 katanas on the wall that they bought from
Kingdom. You guys happy to just stay there while I waddle over across the way? Yeah? Cool?
You can fly.
Again,
I mean, not with that much water in me.
You can fly, but you'll have a negative.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, you have to make a test to get across here without getting injured.
All right, let's make a test. So when you say disadvantage, it's draw two, pick the worst.
That's right.
Okay, Wheel of Fortune.
Which is a conditional success, a grudging success.
And Queen of Cups.
Which is a full success. So it's a grudging success. So, let me see. It can take you a very, very long time. Or you can get there, but you get slammed on the way and are also injured when you get there. Your choice.
I like the idea that I get nicked by a blade and I'm just leaking water.
it's kind of spurting out, like when you stick a pin in a water balloon,
like the Black Knight.
So you're all two of you are a little bit worse for wear, but you've made it through the terrible swinging blades. Gushing ink and bleeding eyes.
Yeah. Incidentally, the name of my death metal band's newest album.
Yeah.
Gushing ink and bleeding eyes.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Right. You step through the last small hole into presumably what is the last room. This room is hexagonal, and in the middle of it is a sort of smaller hexagon. That's piled up to about sort of the height of a human, 6 foot tall, and it's just sort of made entirely of bricks. Like it's almost like a plinth except there's no statue on top of it.
Right.
There are some symbols on the wall that look very ominous and threatening. Pictures of skulls and bones. There is That's all you can see at this point.
Okay. Skulls, bones, stele.
I'm not seeing a mattock or a plough here. I feel misled. Humans and their frescas.
Yeah. Well, it was the event we were, how did they say, beat them to the punch?
Does anyone have any ability to notice things? We have an investigation skill in Veronica, yes. But she's outside, I think. Oh, does Harahel have...
Investigation knowing.
Fantastic. Give me a pull on that, Harahel.
Queen of Swords?
Whoa, full success. Right.
I'm not even a sword.
But a court card is always a full success, so... Yeah, so you have a bit of a look around, and then you realize that the mortar holding this brick structure in the middle is somehow just slowly evaporating to dust. And then faster and faster.
Water's not supposed to do that. Look, guys.
And then the bricks start to move a little bit.
That's an issue. And I help the bricks.
Yeah. You grab one of them is sort of starting to inch out, so you can easily grab it and pull it. Yep, fantastic. All right, yeah, you pull it out, and give me another test. This is involving your basically athleticsness or reflexes. If you have anything that's relevant to that, if you don't, just give me a straight pull.
I'm a 60-year-old librarian who's soaked like a sultana.
Yep.
However, I did draw the Page of Cups.
Oh, well,
I'm getting some really nice pulls tonight.
That is a full success. So you may be a little bit waterlogged and wounded, but you
confidence.
You avoid this sudden. A hand comes leaping out of the gap where you pulled the brick out, and just misses your flesh as it sort of grabs out for something.
Jesus Christ. And then that was inappropriate. Sorry, guys.
Then you the more bricks.
No, he's not here.
Bricks start being pushed out further and further.
Guys.
And then another hand comes out again. Give me another pull, Arahel.
Do you want to step back from there, Arahel?
That would be a two of wands.
Right. This time you're not fast enough, and this hand grabs onto you. You guys can tell that whatever this thing is, it's celestial. It's not mortal. And as soon as it touches your skin, all that water starts just pouring out of your flesh, because your flesh starts drying out really, really quickly.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's convenient.
Yeah. Except as soon, it then stops being just getting rid of the absorption and starts, like, desiccating you.
No, this is bad.
Right. What are you doing?
Freaking out a lot.
There's a bit of a roar coming from inside. Me, yeah, the sound inside the sort of brick thing is more bricks are being moved out. There's a...
Right.
Someone, like, pull me back.
One person who can move quickly. It's not me.
Yeah, I'm gonna teleport over and try to pull Harahel out.
Right. Give me a pull from the deck as you grab her and try to pull her away from the hands.
A pull for a pull.
Pull for a pull.
Can I help?
Sure. Give him a blessing. You're both trying to...
Because presumably you're struggling.
Yep.
Bless.
I got here... Well, that's the Queen of Cups and the Ten of Cups, so the Queen is a full success.
Full success, right. You pull very hard. The hands seem to be getting stronger with every passing second. And when you pull away, you feel like you actually look like you've gained maybe 10, 15 human years on your vessel. At that point, the rest of the bricks start to burst away, and this tall, emaciated figure with horns and then slowly spreading ragged wings steps out. And breathe in this sort of air with this roar, like, ah! Oh, it's been so long.
I want to tentacle him.
Fantastic.
After 10,000 years, I'm free! Assemble a team of teenagers with attitude.
Always a good idea when facing ancient mummies. What are you going to do with your tentacles?
We decided that it was an entangling ability.
Uh-huh.
That can destroy knowledge. So I figure that's going to be a really good way to incapacitate whoever this prick is.
Fantastic.
Okay, come on. No, he just woke up. He's probably tired. He wants his cornflakes.
He just made my 60-year-old ass a 75-year-old ass.
Yeah, that's his cornflakes. Keep up.
He is holding...
My ass is not cornflakes.
He is holding a Rokana in his hand. Okay. And
he's holding a
Rokana, the matic type thing. Yep.
That's the prick. That's the bad prick. Told you he was here.
Okay. So Steve.
Yes.
The bricks.
Yep.
Handheld sort of size.
Yep. You could pick one up and throw it at his head.
It's lovely, because I'm going to make kind of the pointiest, jaggedest one that I can see just come into my hand. I'm not picking it up. It's coming to where I am. And then we're just going to baseball pitch this thing pretty much square in the face.
Nice.
Can we coax him back into his hell hole with a cask of Amontillado?
The brick sort of structure has kind of fallen down around him. I'm going to let you just have a test on that and see how good you can do. We won't actually use the blackjack mechanics here.
Okay.
Throw it at his face.
Yep. Just pitching it at his face.
Do you have a yeeting skill?
No. Although, you know, breaking out. No. Does combat medicine count as a yeet skill?
No. But remember, you can always... We work on cinematic time, so you can always interrupt for a memory of a yeet. If you want one.
I just drew the devil quite literally.
Wow. Yeah, so the devil is an absolute critical failure.
Which is the music at the given moment.
Yep.
You drop it on your foot.
So I'm imagining this. You throw the stone and it goes straight past him. It's a complete miss. And your arm is sort of hanging out long enough for him to sort of turn and grab your hand. And you feel again instantly this sort of thing, like your vessel is just aging, like, and drying out. And you also notice that the more it drains you, the stronger it seems to get. You're effectively, it's going to be like a wound, so you'll have a blight on all further tests as he starts draining the life out of you.
Tentacles. I wish to tentacle him.
Yep. All right, so remind me of what the tentacles do. They drain someone's mind.
I need more knowledge. Eldritch Burst tentacles everywhere. Has an entangling effect and destroys the knowledge consumed.
Right, so you're trying to sort of, take the knowledge. I think, does it actually, I think that doesn't, it works on people.
It worked on the goat.
Yeah, okay. All right, cool. Given that we're in the middle of a combat scene, give me a pull vote to sort of entangle him well. And see how well you do.
Seven of Cups?
Seven of Cups is a partial success. All right, you've got a choice of, you can, pull him off, Charles, and then you can either hold on to, you can pull him off Charles and either hold on to him, but then he'll start to attack you, or he'll, or throw him away and he'll sort of have to choose a new target.
Throw him away.
Right. Your tentacles shoot out and stun him long enough for your, as your mind sort of sucks knowledge out of his head, and is thrown against the wall. You get this bombarding in your head of sort of ancient memories from back, it seems, hundreds of years ago, pre-European contact or around that time, the height of the Incan Empire, this thing standing over people and withering their crops and laughing at them, and then being grabbed by mobs and put into a cage and then buried in this pyramid.
I sort of look a little bit nauseous, just like, bad knowledge.
You also know that his name is Carl.
He looks around and he makes for the exit. Does anybody want to stop him?
I would like to take the thing that's in his hand.
Right.
Because I can see it, and I can presumably hold it.
You can? So
I would like to get that.
Fantastic. All right. But you are wounded, so instead of... Well, I'll give you... Just make a test to see if you can pull it out of him, out of his hands. He's quite strong, and you've been wounded. So, yeah, let's have a blight on that. Draw twice, take the worst.
The Wheel of Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And the Page of Wands.
So that's a partial success. Fantastic.
You go from yeet to yoink.
Yep. You can have it, but he'll get away. Your choice. Or you can bring it and him to you.
Okay, so it's bring him... Well, I can't carry him, so I couldn't have brought him.
Basically, he's sort of moving with it. I'm giving you... Just lets it slip out of his fingers, but then curses you and runs away. Your choice, sir.
Surely having its relic is a good thing to have.
Yeah, I'll take the thing and let it run.
Nice.
I got time to track it down.
You pull it out of he grabs as hard as he can, but your miracle is too strong, and you snatch what is clearly his relic out of his hands. He screams, but his muscles have sort of grown. He was emaciated the first time you saw him, but now he's like super buff from draining your lives. So he just screams in rage and runs down the corridor away back towards the surface.
No, it's okay. He'll probably forgotten about his wings. He'll run through the blades and it'll be fine.
You can hear him flapping.
Ah, melt.
You get a sense from holding this thing that it is a relic of passings, the power over death.
Really?
Yeah. Surprise.
A death relic?
Yes. So if you... Harahel saw earlier that there were pictures on the... on the walls about two relics, one that was associated with the crops growing well and people thriving, and one which was associated with the crops dying and suffering. What became of the other relic? We cut back to Dima, who is talking to someone at the museum, and they explain that they had a very impressive... a very impressive chakatakla that was made out of solid gold, apparently, and had survived incredibly well since the 15th century, and was said by the natives to have incredible magical restorative properties. And that is why they happen to have, it was such of interest to the buyer, who apparently is someone who likes to collect objects that have legendary powers. It's something of a personal passion for them.
Objects of ritual significance, as archaeologists say when they don't know what it is.
And we cut to a picture of a golden chakotaka, as the classic scene of the crate is put over the top, lid of the crate, and hammered down, and is then shipped up the ramp onto the storage of a private jet, and we pull back to reveal the collector in her sunglasses and hat, looking at her watch.
On top of her mask.
I forgot she was wearing a mask.
She's wearing a... No, keep it. She's wearing a mask with sunglasses and a hat. It's great.
Yep. Yeah. Disguise, and it's sunny.
Sun protection is very important.
No, and it's like, you know, we walk right past her on the street, and it's like, excuse me, have you seen where the collector went?
What is this collector of which you speak?
False moustache.
Got to throw something out in the rubbish bin. The collector's inside. No, anyway.
About to unlock glasses.
The collector smiles, and the vassal is standing beside her, and she's like, "Either they've killed our friend under the pyramid, or he's killed them. But either way, we've got what we came for. Let's get out of here."
Well, they couldn't be more wrong. Whew.
She hops in her jet and flies away. And we'll end our episode there. She has the item she was coming for, but the other item remains in your hands—a terrifying weapon of death. But you know, it could come in handy. We'll find out more about that in future episodes.
Yay, terrifying death weapon!
Fantastic. Any last words, ladies and gentlemen? Well, join us next episode for more of these exciting tales. As we continue on the trail of the collector and the items she is picking up, thank you all for listening, and say goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.